Oh, hallelujah. We should have shouted, hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's thank Him for the blood. Hallelujah. Never lose His power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 this morning? Brother Tim, if you could give me just a little more on the monitors. Yeah, like that. I don't have much voice this morning. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. You might have had car trouble this week, but Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. You may have sick family today, but Jesus is coming again. You may be sitting in church and not feel an ounce of anything, but Jesus is coming again. We're going to this morning be preaching from the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. And we're going to read chapter 1 in just a moment. But I want to point out a peculiarity about the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Is that me, brother? I guess it is. And the thing I want to point out is that each of these chapters end with a verse in reference to Christ's coming. And so after we read, I'm going to do something unique in the preaching this morning. I'm going to begin at the end of the chapter and work my way back to the beginning of the chapter. So just so you can be expecting that. Would you stand? Let's read the word this morning. Paul and Silvanus, or Silas, and Timotheus, and to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Hallelujah. Got a demon in the system. What verse was I on? I just seen if you knew. I knew that. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were ensamples or examples to all that believed in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Hallelujah. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Paul said, I'm thankful you really got the real thing. And I know you got the real thing, because when you got it, you started waiting for His Son from heaven. You can always tell when someone's got the real thing. You can always tell when someone's relationship with God is up to date. Because if it is, they'll be waiting for the return of Jesus Christ. I want to preach this morning on while we wait. While we wait. Father, shut up our minds to the truth. Lord, I pray you do something this service, Lord. Turn some heart. Lord, some heart that has grown cold and distant. Lord, bring them back into a red-hot, fervent relationship with you. Lord Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, challenge all of our hearts to a new and a greater expectation of the return of your Son. Oh, Holy Spirit, we got to have your help. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you drove by and saw me standing on the edge of the road, I would hope you would stop and ask, "Are you all right? Is everything okay?" And to which I would respond, "Oh, I'm fine. I'm just standing here because I'm waiting on so-and-so." Now, if I told you I was waiting on the side of the road and I was there because I was waiting on someone, you would immediately assume that I had had the word of somebody that they were coming. That I had the word from someone that they were going to meet me there, come for me there. That would be the only assumption. If not, I would be a fool to be standing on the side of the road saying I was waiting on someone if I had not had their word that they were going to be coming. The world may feel like we are foolish, the way we live, the way we worship, the way we do, the way we believe. But if they would just ask us, Sister Norvell, we would tell them that we're in this place because we are waiting for Jesus to return. And there's only one thing they can assume if we tell them we're waiting for Jesus, and that is we have His word that He is coming for us. Hallelujah. How many know that we not only have His word, but we believe His word, He's coming for us. We are waiting for Him because He said He's coming. We've said it to different ones. We've said it to our children. We've said it at the mall. We've said it at home. We've said, "Wait right here. I'll be back in a minute. Wait right here." I'm telling you, that's what the Lord has said to His church. Wait right here in grace. Wait right here in forgiveness. Wait right here if your heart's right for God. Wait right here, because it'll seem but a minute and I'm coming back for you. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I'm preaching on the second coming of Christ this morning. I could preach and I should preach that Jesus was incarnate. He was God in the flesh, born of the virgin. I should preach that. I should preach that He walked this earth sinless. Hallelujah. And I'm going to preach that. I should preach about the blood streaming down. I should preach about the cross of Christ where they nailed Him and where He died. And I will preach that. I should preach about how they lay Him in the grave. They laid Him in a tomb. And on the third day, I should preach that. I should preach. Amen. That on the third day He rose from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. I should preach that, and I'm going to preach that. I should preach that He ascended to the Father, and I'm going to. I should preach that when He got to the right hand of the Father, He poured out the gift of the Holy, and I'm going to preach that. But I can preach all that, and I've not preached a complete gospel until I have also preached He is coming back. There will be a second coming and return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Most of God's people were unprepared and missed Jesus when He came the first time. Those Jews were looking for the conquering king. But the prophets had prophesied that both the suffering servant and the conquering king were going to come. When Jesus came the first time as the suffering servant and not the conquering king, those Jews would not accept Him. The people of God on a large scale missed the fact that Jesus had come looking only for the conquering king. They missed His coming as the suffering servant who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, and the iniquity of us all was laid upon Him. They missed His coming as the suffering servant. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you, He's coming again. It's going to be a sad thing. coming, if folks miss his second coming, but the second time he comes, he's not coming to sin and to salvation. He's not coming to deal with sin. The second time he comes, he's coming as the conquering king to gather his people to a mighty army to bring victory and the rule of peace and government of holiness to this world. He's coming again, and I don't want to miss his coming. Can you say amen? We may be ready. We should be ready. We can be prepared. Amen. In this verse 10, it says, wait for his son from heaven. Amen. The same promise that assures us that Jesus is coming back assures us that there is a heaven. Because notice what it says here. We're waiting for his son from heaven. So if you believe Jesus is coming back, you believe, you have the hope, you have the assurance of heaven, because when he comes back, he's coming from heaven. Oh, we got his word on it, Brother Rose. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will. Come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. We're waiting on him, Brother Wilson. He's going to come from heaven. He's going to gather us up and take us back to heaven. Oh, can you say amen? When he ascended, the men of Galilee stood gazing upward, and the angels appeared and said, why are you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that you've seen taken from you up to heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Oh, to believe in the second coming is to believe in a heaven from which Jesus will come and take us back. Oh, hallelujah. He could not be coming back had he not risen from the dead. So to preach Jesus is coming is to preach with the assurance that he has risen from the dead. He's got to be alive to be coming back. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Amen. You may wonder how we're going to be changed. We're going to be changed by the same power when he comes. We're going to be changed by the same power that raised him from the dead. Oh, do you believe he's coming? I said, do you believe he's coming? Much of our expectation of Jesus is coming is because we want to see him. But make no mistake, some of our expectation and desire for his coming is that we want to be saved from wrath. The wrath that is to come. Many years ago, a close family member said to me when I went to Bible school, oh, you're just going up there where they teach that escape theory, that escape thing, that you're going to escape the wrath to come. You're going to escape bad things that are going to happen on the world. Amen. I let that bother me for a little bit. I started arguing, well, we don't believe in this. And I thought, yeah, we do. We do believe in the escape, but only it's not a theory. It's the promise of the Father. I don't know how you feel. I don't feel like a sissy or a chicken, that when I realize what's coming across this earth, I do not feel like a chicken to want to escape it. And I've got good news. The bad news is, to the world, there is the wrath of God that's going to be poured out on planet earth. But the good news is, through Jesus, he has delivered us from the wrath to come. And just before he pours it out, he's coming back to take us out of here when he pours out the full dosage of his wrath. Amen. You look around the things that's happening on earth, horrible things, things of commotion and disorder, agitation of the masses of people, disease and war and uncertainty. But all of this that you see is simply the wrath of man. If the wrath of man's this bad, I don't want to be around when God pours out his wrath. But we don't have to. We're waiting on him because he's delivered us from the wrath to come. Oh, can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. What will we do while we wait? What should we do while we wait? Paul tells us, amen, first of all, he says if we're really waiting, we will be turning. We will be turning. Look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from idols to serve the living and true God. Amen. Paul describes the Thessalonians' conversion with the words, you turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. I do believe that's an accurate description of true conversion. I do believe if someone is genuinely born again, genuinely accepts Christ, genuinely becomes a Christian, they will do some turning. They will turn from this world. They will turn from their sin. They will turn from the environment around us. They will turn from the world's pleasures and the world's ways and the world's fashion. I'm telling you, if you really get saved, you'll do some turning. Oh, folks, look at what they're turning from and forget what they're turning to. Yes, you Thessalonians, you turned from idols, but they were dead anyway. But don't look what you turn from. Look what you turn to. You turn to the living and the true God. I believe if we're waiting for His coming, listen to me, if we're ready for His coming, we'll still, even though we're saved, we'll still be turning from this world. We'll be doing some turning from some things. If I want to be ready when Jesus comes, there's going to be things I'll turn away from. Hallelujah. I say, how many believes that? I don't care what the church down the road preaches, that if you've been saved at any time in your history, maybe 5 years old, 15 years old, you've ever claimed Christ, accepted Him, and then you can go ahead and live any way you want to. Live in the world, partake of the world, be like the world, and be ready when Jesus comes. I don't believe that, because if you're really waiting, you're really looking for His coming, you're going to be turning away from all of that mess and turning your eyes expectantly to the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? Paul says to the Thessalonians, you've left your old life and lifestyle and all of those ways, amen, to worship God and to wait for the return of His Son. Amen. The turning from the world, Paul said, is evidence that you are waiting for Jesus coming. Hallelujah. You know what I think interesting, Brother May? Is in all probability, 1 Thessalonians was the first epistle written 20 years or less after Christ's ascension. And already Paul is talking about looking for the coming of the Lord. If he had and they had that expectation 20 years after Christ's ascension, how much more should we not have that expectation 2,000 years after His coming? Hallelujah. They have turned from idols. Amen. To turn from the world and to turn from idols to serve the living God. Number one was a reason. It was a reason to get saved, that Christ was coming. I mean, if Christ is coming, that's a reason to turn from this world. That's what Paul's saying. If Jesus is coming according to His word, that's every reason that there is to turn from the world. I want to tell you this morning, if Jesus is coming, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm sanctified. I might have thrown it here, brother. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel this sounds dead. Help me out here. They're saying yell up here. Praise God. Hallelujah. I mean, that's reason to turn from this world, that Jesus. But I want you to know it's not just reason. It's also the result of turning to God. If someone genuinely turns to God, they will begin to wait for Jesus to come. They'll be looking for His return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only will we be turning from the world if we expect the Lord to come, but we will be serving. We will be serving. Look at the end of verse 9. Not only did you turn to God from idols, but you did so to serve the living and the true God. Literally, the word serve here comes from the same word as slave. In other words, if you really turn to God, if you're really waiting for Jesus to come, you'll be a slave doing the bidding and the will of God. Hallelujah. I believe if we're really looking for the coming of the Lord, just give me the cover here. Go ahead and turn that off. Hallelujah. We're going to persevere. You think devil done all this last week? Done this last week when we preached about overcoming him, but he decided to trick us and do it this week. Now let's get back on track. Thank you, brother. I want you to know something. If we're truly waiting for the coming of the Lord, we'll have a heart that we want to be in the service of God, doing His bidding and doing His will. Even if you're really waiting for the coming of the Lord, you're not serving your own passions. You're not serving your own will. You're not a slave to your own hobbies, a slave to your own habits, a slave to your own work. Amen. But if you're waiting for the coming of the Lord, you'll be a servant of God. You'll be doing something for the kingdom of heaven. In verse 3, amen, Paul said, remembering without ceasing, I was thankful because I remembered your work of faith and your labor of love. You show me someone that's really waiting for Jesus to come, and I'll show you someone that's busy desiring and doing the will of God for their lives. They're not caught up in their own little world. Oh, you know, sometimes I wish I could just encourage folks to listen to me. I can tell when some folks aren't ready for the coming of the Lord. Are you a judge? No. But when I see someone, they're caught up in the little narrow world of themselves. All they care about is their pleasure, their hobby, their feelings, their desire, their little old thing. They're not ready for the coming of the Lord. You're only ready when you got a heart that says, I just want to please the Lord. I want to be found in His will. I want to be found doing the service of the Lord. Amen. The work of faith, the labor of love. If one's not working for God, amen, they're not waiting for Jesus to come, because Jesus said, occupy till I come. Work till I come. If I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord, I will not be idle in the things of God. I will not be idle in my worship. I will not be idle in my work for God. If I'm looking for Him, I want to be found in the labor with my hand to the plow. Amen. With my hands involved in the work of God. In fact, if there has ever been a motive, if there's ever been a stimulus and catalyst for Christians working and serving and laboring, it is this: Jesus is coming. That was for many decades in a revived church. That was the motive of the work. Look at the fervent and almost the frantic working for God. It's because people said Jesus is coming, and there's so many that are still lost, and we want to do everything that we can to win as many to Jesus before He comes. And so waiting on the Lord was the catalyst for the work of faith and the labor of love. What will we be doing if we're waiting for His coming? We will be a living testimony. Look at verse 7. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia, Achaia, modern Greece. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Sounded out the word of the Lord. That's in verse 8. They weren't saying a word. So how were they broadcasting? How were they sounding out the word of the Lord? How were they being a witness? It was through the way that they lived. I mean, when they got converted, they really got converted. The Thessalonians' lives were so changed. They no longer worshiped idols. They no longer involved themselves in the wicked pleasures of the world. They lived so differently. They were so busy doing the work of God that the people around them in their city, in their country, and across the waterways, when they heard how changed that the Thessalonians were by the gospel of Christ, Paul said that the change in their life was a preaching of the gospel to all those that heard it. In other words, Paul said, I didn't even need to go to some cities and preach the gospel because they heard what a difference that Christ had made in your life. I believe someone that's really waiting for the coming of the Lord lives in such a way that it says to the lost world around them, Christ has made a difference. Christ has changed my life. If you're waiting for the coming of the Lord, your life will be an example in the neighborhood. It will be an example at the workplace. It'll be an example at school, because you'll be living in such a way prepared for the coming of the Lord that people will know that serving Jesus makes a difference. Accepting the gospel makes a change. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, waiting for the coming of the Lord will make us living testimonies to the power of God. A life lived in expectation of Christ's second coming will be a life that shouts out the power of the gospel. From you sound it out. It'll tell folks, your life will tell folks what Christ can do for them. Are we waiting for the coming of the Lord? The question to ask, is my life a living testimony of what the power of God can do? Oh, how many knows the power of God can make the difference? While we wait, we'll be receiving the word. We will be receiving the word. Look at verse 6. And you became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word. Before I read on, I want to pull out those verbs there, and I want you to see it. He says, ye became, having received the word. In other words, receiving the word caused you to become something other than what you were. I'm telling you, you could have been saved 5 minutes or 50 years or not saved, but I'll promise you this. If you will receive the word of God, you will become what you have not been. There is a power in the word of God. Not the heard word, but the received word. You became, having received the word. Receiving the word results in being followers. It was the Thessalonians' openness to the word, their reception of the word, that led to their salvation. But it was their continual openness to the word, their continuous reception of the word, that prepared them for the return of Jesus Christ. Amen. I know this to be a fact. Hear me across the building. If you don't hear anything else, it's when a believer ceases to be hungry for the word of God, whether reading it or hearing it preach. When they're no longer hungry for the word of God, they're no longer open to the word of God, they're no longer receptive and responsive to the word of God, they have ceased to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Put it this way, that was the long form. The short form is, you ask yourself, am I ready for Jesus coming? And if you can't answer, I'm hungry for the word, I'm open to the word, I want the word, you're not ready. Because a characteristic of truly waiting for the coming of the Lord is to have a heart that says, I want that word, I need that word, I want to hear it, I want to read it, I want to digest it, I want it to become a part of my thinking. Listen, we need the word of God. There is a famine of the word of God. You say, what are you talking about? There's preachers on every radio. There's preachers on every TV. Amen. The bookstores are full of the books. I'm telling you, it's not the same thing. We need the word of God. What God is speaking, what God is saying, the unadulterated word of God as revealed by the Father. God, give us the word, and the word will prepare us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when I see folks begin to be uninterested in preaching, unresponsive when the word is preached. I know they've lost their expectation of Christ's return. I hope I don't sound hard this morning, but you know, I'm not blind up here. And sometimes my heart is heavy because I see folks at one time were so interested in the Word of God. And today, and I'm not trying to be hasty in my judgments, but today as I preach, I can tell there's not an iota of interest. There's no, how do you know? Because there's no response. I don't know everything goes in the heart of man. I know that. But the general demeanor is, I'm here, but I ain't interested. That saddens me, not because I'm an important person that needs to be heard, but because it's the openness to the Word that leads to my preparation for the coming of the Lord. And if I'm closed to the Word, there ain't any way I can be ready. How many wants to be ready when He comes again? Oh, hallelujah. There is this cardinal truth. One cannot be prepared for Christ's return if one is not expectant for Christ's return. And one cannot be expectant for Christ's return unless they are responding to the Word. Amen. Paul says here, you received the Word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice the two things. The Word of God was being preached. But number one, the Thessalonians were under the pressure not to receive it. They were under affliction. And so as the Word was being preached, Brother Brock, there was affliction, there was persecution that said don't receive it. But at the same time there was affliction not to receive the Word. There was the joy of the Holy Ghost in receiving the Word. I tell you, it's still the same. If you receive the Word of God, don't fight it, don't argue with it, even don't defend yourself again. Just receive the Word of God, and you'll discover that with your receiving the Word of God, there will be the joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What should we be doing? Waiting for His coming. We will be followers of righteous examples. We will be followers of righteous examples. The latter part of verse 5 says, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. You saw our lives as we preached the gospel, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. Amen. When you received the word, you became followers of us and the Lord. Amen. If you're really waiting for the coming of the Lord, you will be following godly examples and not ungodly examples. Amen. I ain't picking on anybody, but listen to me, young folks. When your life is following the examples of the figures of this world, whether it's singer or star or the peers at school, when you're following that example, you cannot be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Amen. It's in following godly examples that you're prepared for the coming of the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. If my hero, if the person I follow is a sports figure or a worldly singer or the winner of American Idol, amen, I can't be ready. The only way I'm going to be ready is if I'm following godly examples, because godly examples are following Christ. Hallelujah. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Amen. Do you still believe there's some godly examples? I believe we got godly examples in this church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young ladies, follow Sister Chrisman, Sister Karen, Sister Brock, a host of them. Worship like they worship. Pray like they pray. Amen. You'll be ready when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Young men, follow the godly examples. I could name a host, but follow these examples. Brother Rose and Brother Wilson and Brother Brock and Brother Norvell. If you'll follow godly examples, you'll be ready when Jesus comes. What example are you following? Amen. Hallelujah. It's so evident that many of those who call themselves believers are following after the trends of the world, following after entertainment and the fashions of the world. How can they be prepared? On the other hand, there are those that follow the quasi-spiritual, charismatic figures. I've had that said lately. Oh, you know, I'm just more happy with those kind of figures and preachers. They say exciting things. They proclaim name new doctrines. They demonstrate a dynamic emotional demeanor. But the question isn't how exciting are they. The question is, number one, do they preach the truth? But number two, are they righteous? I've seen some of the biggest figures later, YouTube sensations, leaders of revival, and people flocked to them because it was new and exciting. You knew something was wrong, couldn't quite put your finger on it, but then it comes out what wicked lives they were living, what deceitful lives. You could tell it because even when they were supposed to be doing right in their preaching, they would lift up the things of the world. Listen, don't listen to those that make you feel it's easy to be a part of this world. Listen to those, amen, that are godly examples. There's a sense of the presence of God. I'm telling you, I want to be ready. And wanting to be ready, I'm going to follow the godly example and not the ungodly. Paul said, you followed us. Others follow liberated folks that claim all this stuff about being holy and pleasing the Lord and being consecrated. There's a lot of unnecessary hooey, but I tell you, that's not true. Those that are prepared, those that are waiting for the Lord, for Jesus to return, they're following after righteousness. They're following after pure living. They're following the example of those that keep the Word of God. And last of all, while we wait, if we're going to be ready, we will be enduring. We will be enduring. Look at verse 3. Remember, without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love. We preached on those. But he said also, I'm remembering your patience of hope. Now, patience here doesn't mean you got nerves of steel. You know, you're a parent, your little kid can bang on a snare drum from 8 in the morning to 3 in the afternoon, and the neighbors can have their music playing loud, and you just, oh, it doesn't bother me. It's not saying that. It's not what it means by, oh, they're so patient. No, they're just disconnected. The word patient here, it literally is hupomone, means to hold up under pressure. To be patient means to hold up under the pressure is being laid on, but you set firm your legs and stiffen your back and refuse to let your burden knock you down, keep you down, keep you from moving. And that's the Bible word for patience. The word that I would think of is the word endure. The pressure's put on. Things are negative in your life. People are sick. But you got the hope of heaven, so you will endure the right now. Hallelujah. How many knows the pressures are being piled on? I've had several of you talk to me in the last week, the sickness and the problems with the house and the problems with the car. Amen. Two of our church folks this week, their cars blew up, you know. Amen. That's a bad trouble to have. I'm telling you, the pressures will be laid on. And it's not just the financial pressures. It's not just those loads of sickness and disease. Amen. We fight spiritual battles. I mean, the enemy would lay the burden on us. The enemy would lay the load on us. But Paul said the patience of hope, in other words, hope will motivate you to endure. Amen. You can endure it knowing that Jesus is coming. You can endure it if you're waiting for the coming of the Lord, because as bad as it might get, it's going to get better. And as many things as there are wrong, he's going to set them right when he gets here. Oh, hallelujah. And as bad as today is, this could be the day. This could be the end of our race. This could be the day we see him face to face. As dark as the valley is, he may come like lightning in the east and light up our sky. Amen. As heavy as the temptation is, he may come and we'll drop this robe of flesh and rise. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, if you got the hope, you can endure. And Jesus said, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Oh, I get old and grouchy when I know what folks have went through. I'm looking at Sister Crispin, like Sister Crispin and others. And then for some new folks say, well, I just don't know if I can serve God. I had a flat tire this week. Since I've started serving God, I've had a flat tire once a month. Just don't know. I'm not making fun of your flat tire. I hate to have them. But I'm telling you, I look around. I look at the godly examples. Oh, the burdens have been piled on. The load has become heavy. They've been bowed down with the pressures of this world. But they have steeled themselves and said, I refuse to let this burden pressure me into quitting. I refuse to give up. I refuse for it to knock me out of the race. I'm going to withstand this. I'm going to make it through. I'm going to endure. And when they brace themselves, they recognize they're not in the yoke alone, but Jesus Christ is in the yoke, right? He's a pulling with them. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Paul said, I got there in my defense and was at the very court, and none stood with me, but suddenly I was aware that Jesus stood with me. I'm telling you, if you make the decision to stand in the face of the pressure, he's going to be right there holding you up. Don't forget, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. I don't have to sink. If I'm waiting for the coming of the Lord, I'll endure. Hallelujah. I just want to tell you, endure it. Don't look for an easy way out. Look at the goal. Jesus is coming. Oh, I want to wait for him, don't you? Music, would you come? I believe Sister Jessica is singing. In the places they had kings, whenever the king came to town, all work stopped and the celebration began. You may be under the struggle. You may be fighting. You may be under the heat of hard labor. But I'll tell you, when the king gets here, the work's going to stop and the celebration is going to be again. It has been rumored it's on the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. It's not. It's in the Library of Congress. Some have just told the story wrong. But in the Library of Congress, there is an inscription. It says this: one God, one law, one element, and one far off divine event to which the whole creation moves. A tourist was reading that and said, that inscription, one divine event to whom the whole creation moves. Ask the tour guide, what's that referred to? The tour guide said, I'm not sure, but I think it's referring to the second coming of Christ. To think that our fathers at the beginning of this nation would have that inscription put in the Library of Congress. I've heard this, seen it in books. Did some research. It's actually from a poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson, Memoriam. But I just want to read the stanza in which that's found. The friend of mine who lives in God, that God which ever lives and loves, one God, one law, one element, and one far off divine event to whom the whole creation moves. Everything. There's only one thing I disagree with in that poem. It's no longer one far off divine event. It's one near at hand divine event. And Sister Brock, this world is rushing to that event. I don't know what Tennyson had in mind when he wrote that, but I know the truth is this world is rushing to the divine event of the second coming of Christ. It's on God's agenda. It's on God's agenda. But while we wait, we're going to endure. We're going to follow the godly example. We're going to receive the word. We're going to serve God, and we're going to turn from this world because our hearts are set. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you truly waiting for the coming of the Lord? Amen. Would you stand? Hallelujah. I'm going to just take a moment. Are you ready? Let's lift our hearts and hands and say, oh Lord, I want to be ready. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, are you ready? Are you following the godly example? Are you receptive to the word of God? Have you turned from this world? Are you enduring with hope in your heart? Hallelujah. We partake of communion. Jesus said, as you partake of it, we show forth his death until he comes. So even in partaking of communion, Brother Ryan, we're looking and we're waiting. Because one day, as good as these servers are, it won't be they that's serving you. It's going to be the King that serves you. Amen. You can be seated, servers. Would you come? Hallelujah.
Jesus is coming to take from the world.